Take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. All right, Matthew 13, 37. Let's see what the Word of God has for us today. I want to preach to you today on you cannot give what you do not have. So if you're going to give this world something spiritually, you're going to have to get it from here. You cannot give what you do not have. Let me say it one more time. Some of you ain't got it yet, I don't think. You cannot give what you do not have. If you're constantly having to give CPR to your own dead, plucked up by the roots, spiritual life, you're not going to be any spiritual good to them out there. There are people giving CPR to their religious experiences that 20 years ago. That was an experience. Jesus is not an experience. He's a person. You can have a lot of experiences with Him. But you telling them that you swung from the ceiling fans last Sunday at church is probably not what they need to hear. So you have to know the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot, and you will have experiences with Him, or you may not. You may just read the Word of God and just trust it by faith someday. Some days you may cry. Some days you may laugh. Some days you go to church and you just, have an awesome church service. Sometimes you go and you don't think it's that awesome. But He never changes. You cannot give what you do not have. I was preaching many, many years ago, probably 34 years ago, in some town in Texas, Lufkin, Austin, I think Austin, Texas. And I preached one night. It was a camp meeting, so there's a lot of preachers there and a lot of people there. And Ronnie, I had a gentleman come up to me after church, was a preacher, and I still remember his name, actually. And he said, "What size boots do you wear?" I told him. He said, "I got a pair to fit you." He told me all about them, how much they cost. They was the best boots in the history of earth and made by, some kind of skin that was smuggled out of Africa and all this kind of, bless God, they was no boots like these boots. So, Mickey, I was just kind of excited about my new boots. He brought them to me. After church service over, he went and got them. He stayed gone about 2 hours. He found one and it took him an hour or two to find the other one. So that kind of throwed me off a little bit there. When he was walking up to me in the shadows, I couldn't see the boots. And I was thinking, if they was all this, you couldn't find them, why weren't you wearing them? Just take them off your feet at the church service and give them to me. But it was kind of cold. And so he walks up, Matt, with these boots. Mickey, the dogs had chewed them a lot up, you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't wear boots that the dogs had chewed on. Trust me, I would wear them. But I just told him, "Thank you, I was great." He told me, he said, "The dog got a hold of one of them, or both of them actually, but he didn't really chew them up that bad." And so I said, "Well, I really appreciate it." And I took them, as you can imagine, I have no idea where they're at, never even tried to put them on my foot. A few years later, a farmer from Bible, Arkansas, come driving up in my driveway. You see, I have no ill toward the man that gave me the boots that the dog chewed up. If you're going to have ill and offense against that kind of stuff, do not get in the ministry. If that kind of stuff's going to get in there deep and bother you, stay out of the ministry, and for God's sake, stay out of the traveling ministry. Because you're going to have to learn real quick to instantly let it all go and go on and do what you got to do. But a couple years later, about 3 years later, a farmer come driving up in my driveway from Bible, Arkansas. I don't know if you've driven to Bible lately, but it ain't like 15 minutes. I was sitting in my chair in my house, Lynn. He come walking in with this big sack. He said, "I brought you something, preacher." First things he said, the first words come out of his mouth, Jody, when he walked in the door. And he knelt down in front of me. He pulled my shoes off and he opened Scott a boot box. This was 1987 or 88. And he had bought me an $800 Marvin pair of boots. I don't know if he was in the 80s. But Jimmy Carter had just been our president. And interest was about 20% on everything. It wasn't a good time for everybody. And so $800 was a lot. It's still a lot of money right this second, but it was way more then than it is now. Okay? And he put them boots on me. I think they were alligator. These are crocodile, I think, that I have on now. But they were alligator. And Martha, he put them on my feet. God will settle the accounts if you'll let Him do it. God will make it right if you'll let Him do it. But you're going to have to let Him do it. Amen. You cannot give what you do not have. That man, and I remember his name, I have no ill toward him whatsoever, gave me some eat-up boots by a dog, and I was just as nice as a cow if it had cost $1,000. Because of that, 3 years later, God had a man brought me a pair of $800 boots and put them on my feet. God is good. You cannot give what you do not have. Matthew 13:37, the Bible said, He answered and said unto them, He soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ. Verse 38, Joshua, please. The field is the world. That's where the seed's going to be sown. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's you and me. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, there's wheat and tares growing in the same fields. And in the churches, there are people that are wheat that are producing and participating. And there's tares that sit and never do anything and are never touched by the move of God. But Jesus said, you're the good seed of the children of God. So you got to go out. We got to go out here and we got to tell some people about Jesus. But you cannot give what you do not have. You just can't do it. If all you got is some experience, I can stay here till dark telling you about experiences I've had in the last 36 years with Jesus and people and churches. But the most important thing I have to give you is the Word of God and Jesus Christ Himself, because there's nobody like Him. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. He knows you, cares about you, He died for you on the cross of His own will. He came to this earth of His own will. He died on the cross, and 3 days later He come walking out of the tomb of His own will. And one day He's going to come back for us to the same exact mountain, the Mount of Olives. He's going to come back for us and put His feet on the ground, because He said, now I'm gone now, but I'm leaving you the Holy Ghost and putting Him in you and on you and about you, but I will be back to get you, and I'm going to come right back to this mount, which is a few miles north of Israel, and there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon, all right? He's coming back after us. He came the first time. How many believes He came the first time? Well, He'll come the second time. So I'm kind of mixed up on the second coming. Well, the reason for that is you're mixed up on the first coming. He came to save us, Mark, the first time, and that's why He's coming back the next time. He's going to pull us out of here. He's going to fix this mess, and then we're coming back because this is His earth, all right? This is His stuff. He made it all, and He's coming back, and He's going to be in charge of it, and we're going to have heaven as well, and a new Jerusalem, and a new city, and a new heaven. We're going to have it all. It's all this right here is mine. That's the way Jesus functions, all right? So give Him a hand clap of praise, if you would, please. You go chasing experiences? Well, you need to come over here. Jesus warned us against that. Go with me to Luke 17:20, please. Luke 17:20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and He answered them and He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The word observation comes from the word ocular, which means our eyes, all right? Your natural eyes will not see it, so to speak. You can't see the wind. You can't see the wind. How many believes there's wind? You ever seen the wind? But you believe it, don't you? If you don't believe it, if you've ever been in the storm, how many's been in the tornado? Did you believe there was some wind? You You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind can do. Jesus told Nicodemus, about verse 8 of chapter John chapter 3, he said, Nicodemus, I know you don't get it. I know you don't understand it. That's because it's in the wind. Nicodemus didn't understand what that wind was, all right? But that wind of the Holy Spirit of God, I promise you, you can see what he does. You can't see him. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you and his power rests upon you, you can't see him, but you can see what he's doing in your life. Can I get an amen? And if he ain't doing anything in your life, he's not challenging you, he's not convicting you of your sins, I mean, he's not shaking your cage every once in a while, he's not giving you peace, you might better go back and check and see, now, whoa, Lord, we've got to talk about something. You know, the twills has done run off somewhere now. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You need to make sure you're in constant contact with that wind, because you can't see that wind, but you can see what it does. Let's continue reading. He said, neither shall they say, lo here, the next verse, yes, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said, here, it's not here and there. He was talking about on a personal basis. It's inside of you. You're already there. You're already there. Like the kids say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You're already there. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, so you're already there. Just let him out. Let him work in your life. Give him liberty. Say, Holy Spirit of God, do what you want to do with me. Until you get to that place, he won't, because he's a gentleman. He's not going to just beat you over the head, all right? He's going to let you get to a place that you need him bad enough that you'll say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Holy Ghost. I need you. Let me tell you what. If you've ever had a powerful experience with God, let's say 10 years ago, and at 3 a.m. in the morning I see you, when that person that you love's in there on all them machines and dinging and binging and banging and pumping and all that stuff, and you go in there and get to see them every once in a while, if they're really bad, they won't let you go in at night unless you're really, really quiet and nice to the nurses and all that kind of stuff. All right, let me ask you this right here. And you sitting out there in that uncomfortable chair, 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody else is gone, everybody come by and visited you, they love you, they prayed for you, but let me go ahead and give you a secret before you get mad at all them, they can't help you no way. So you just getting mad at all them, ain't going to do anything but ruin you. They not even going to know about it, unless you put it on Facebook, and we're going to all know you're talking about it, so it don't make any difference, all right? Let them go. We're all so busy in 2018, who's got a lot of extra time on their hands? Anybody? Yesterday I went to Link Academy. Don't let me forget, I'm going back to 3 a.m. in ICU. Okay, Martha, don't let me forget. Yesterday I went to Link Academy to the carnival. I left there, went to the funeral home because I love a person in this church very much, dedicated, loves this church. Her grandmother's dead, so I went to the funeral home, preaching this morning. And God willing, depending on what all happens, I'm going to go back by the funeral home here in just a little bit. And then I'm going to go to the hospital and see my cousin Jan Smith. She's got pneumonia. I don't know if you've had pneumonia or not, but it ain't nothing to play around with, all right? So I'm going to go see her. Then I'm going to go home, rest an hour or so, and then I'm going to be back over here. And that's just part of that's my schedule that you would see, all right? So was anybody yet figured out you got a lot of time on your hands, 2018? We can't be everywhere at once. We can't do everything for everybody. Eventually, you got to do something for yourself. Okay. Now, back to 3 a.m. at the ICU place. And you sitting out there in a chair. Maybe you got a child with you. Maybe somebody stays with you because they don't want you to stay by yourself. That's just kind of the way we do it in the South. We double up. I'm going to go. Is anybody down there with you? No, they've all go home. They had stuff they had to do. And you say, well, I'm going to come sit with you. Right? Now, when you go in and they have no idea what's wrong with your whoever, or they know what's wrong, and they've told you that it looks bad. That experience you had with Jesus 10 years ago, is that going to help you right then? Or you just need the Jesus that's in you right in that moment? You need a new experience. You can't live on experiences. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're wonderful. Okay? We're going to have some cake here this afternoon. And they're going to be good. I'm going to try not to eat too much. Okay? I'm going to do my best. Like my cousin, the man come down to put the gate up and block the road where he drove to the swamp every day of his life. He just liked to drive down that road. It was his right to drive down that road. This other fellow who got our legal rights to go hunt on that land, he come put a gate up because he's worried about everybody going to go down there and kill all the deer with a big shiny lock on it. This is my daddy's first cousin. I'm not going to call his name. Anyway, he prayed. He left, went out the door. He saw him out there. He drove in one day and saw that gate, and he figured out who put it up. That kind of got his blood pumped a little bit. It don't take much to get his blood pumped up, really, anyway. And so he went out. He told me, he said, I went out the door praying that I wouldn't cuss. He said, Lord, help me now. Just help me, Jesus. I don't cuss. He said, well, it didn't work. Let's just say the gate came down immediately. All right? So sometimes you need some immediate results. And going in an ICU room and telling that person that's laying there, can't hear, can't see, don't even know what he's in the world or she's in the world, you telling them, well, now, we had some kind of church service back in 1982. Not going to help them. I hate to tell you, but it's not going to help them. That's why Jesus said, don't go chasing a bunch of experiences. Because if you live on experiences, you're going to have to give them CPR every once in a while because, baby, this has done died. All right? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You're going to need him with you all the time. He is with you, but you're going to have to let him out. You understand what I'm saying? Because Jesus said, we are the people that plant the seed in this world. We're the seed. We go out because we're fresh and we know God, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and we walk with him. And so when you go in the ICU room, you're going to need him right then. That experience you had 10, 15, 20 years ago or as a child, you need him right then to touch this person so they will live and get up out of there and go to the house with you. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You cannot give what you do not have. So I wouldn't leave here today without something. The Word of God's preached. We've worshiped God. The Word of God's preached. So you can leave here with something. If you don't know what that something is, you say, Lord, let me leave here with something. I'm not too up on all this stuff. I don't clearly understand what Brother Scotty's talking about at the time. But I do know that there's a God in heaven. I do know you love me. I do know you died for me. I do know the Holy Spirit lives within me. So pump me up. Put something inside of me. Can I get an amen? Because James said you have not because you ask not. Jesus is not an experience. He is a person. And you need a personal relationship with him. You will have experiences along life's way with him. This morning, about 2 o'clock, 1 or 2 o'clock, I was sitting on the side of my bed. I have a prayer shawl I put on sometimes, not all the time, put on sometimes. And that I got handmade from India when I was over there. And I just sit there and I listen to some worship music this morning. And sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I begin to worship. I begin to cry. I begin to weep. And that was an awesome experience. I was trying to see where I was going to be at today preaching. And I had it all figured out, Mark. Had it all figured out. I preached the same subjects. I just retitled my message a while ago. Okay? And so I walked to the pulpit and God said, call it this, don't call it that. Because your emphasis will be different, you know, because your children have different names. So if you want Matthew, you call him, you don't call Micah. Although now I got 4 grandkids, so I just call them something. I don't know, just something, just like I call all the kids in here. It's just too many kids for me to keep up with, all right? Now you remember a couple of weeks ago I preached on Zacchaeus? It may have been last week, I don't remember what week it was. Zacchaeus, short man, little short man Zacchaeus. The rich guy had plenty of money. There's a scripture there. Go to that scripture, Luke 19:2, maybe. Luke 19:2. I want to show you something. I want to emphasize something. Go to the next verse, verse 3. This verse right here. The first sentence. Our screen's working. Can y'all see them good? Notice what it says. He sought to see what Jesus is going to do. Is that what it says? He sought to see that Jesus is going to feed some folks. He sought to see Jesus is going to heal somebody. He might work some kind of angle and make some money off of it. What does it say? What does it say? He sought to see Jesus for who he was. Not what he could get out of it. He sought to see Jesus for who he was. He is a person. If you do not know that person, you're a religious person giving CPR every Sunday morning to yourself, pretending that you're something that you're not. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I promise you, when you stand before him, he won't give you opportunity to give CPR to you. You won't even try. You'll say, Lord, I'm in the wrong line, all right? Like my great uncle that got in the Marines back in the World War II. They was all in these lines, Marines, Navy, Army, Air Force. And some fella come walking by and said, and he was in the Army line. It's a true story. He said, "Man, what are you doing over here in this line? It's long." He said, "Well, that's, you know, look like a pretty good line." He said, "Oh, no, you need to be over at Marine line." And that's how Mr. Tate, he wound up a Marine. It didn't take him long to figure out that he might have, should have stayed in some of them other lines, all right? Because he found out the Marines is the first folks we just throw out there, all right? So, but he came home alive. God's good and God takes care of us. You need to make sure you're in the right line here. Because if you're not in the right line here, I can promise you, you're not going to be in the right line there. Sweet Jesus, call on us, Lord. I thought the trumpet was sounding. Amen. He's gone. The trumpet's going to sing. And I'll be gone, baby. All that stuff here and there, you can. Whoever's left here, you can have it. Okay? While I'm going up, I'll haul out the alarm clock to my house so you won't set it off when you go in. All right? If I can remember it. Amen. And the church code don't work at my house, by the way. If you know the church code, it won't do any good in my house. All right? But I tell you one code I do know. This one, and it taught me about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit made it real to me and said, if you don't get saved, Scotty Hardhead Boatner, today, you're going to go to hell. I don't care where you been. I don't care if your daddy's a preacher. I don't care if mama and them teaches Sunday school. This ain't about mama and them. It ain't about daddy a preacher. This is about your heart's head itself. It's been to go to hell is what's been happening to you. I found out, Ronnie, all of a sudden, I couldn't con everybody. I found out, Scott, all of a sudden I couldn't pump sunshine his way. He made the sun, all right? You may pump it here, but you won't pump it there. He made it. You won't out-talk him, Jessica? It'll be real. For it to be real there, it's got to be real here.
Amen.
You can't give this world something they don't have. Let me break it on down. You can't give your kids something you don't have. Let me, y'all didn't hear me. You can't give your children something you do not have. And if they ain't got it, this whole world's pretty messed up. You better put something in them. You better put something in them. I don't care how bad you feel, and you may feel a million miles from God, read this book. It'll take care of them when you can't. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't care how many troubles you've got. I don't care if you're wondering where God is. Don't tell your kids. You read this book and tell them God's a good God.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
This is what Job said. He said, Job 13:15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Put that verse up, Joshua, and then we go. Job 13:15, I believe that's it. Been a while since I read it. Though he slay me, yet will I trust my experiences. Who's he going to trust? Him. That's a person. So no matter what you're going through, you better trust Him. I will maintain my ways, my own ways before Him. In other words, yet, though He, I don't care how bad this gets, Job said, I'm going to trust Him. I have no idea what's going on in my life. I have no idea. All I can see out my window is a fresh gate, graveyard. I've lost everything I got. My wife's told me to cuss God and die. And so, but I can't do that. I'm going to stand where what I know. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And if God even kills me, I'll die trusting Him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that's not a bad way to die, by the way. That's not really a bad scripture, okay? No matter what happens on this planet, trust Him. You cannot give what you do not have. You can't come play church here and go home and do something else with your kids. Because they're going to get old enough to know better. I'm not saying you're not superhuman. Tell them that. They need to know that. Tell them you're not perfect, but you serve a perfect God. Apologize to them when necessary. Hook them up with God, but you cannot give what you do not have. Every head bowed, every eye closed.